This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. This is our annual year-end income tax tips. So let me give you a little bit of caution here. If you are thinking of doing your own tax return, you know, I want you to think really carefully about that, because I think you're going to find out you may make some mistakes. You're trying to save some money by not hiring either a tax attorney or a CPA, and it may turn out that you make a big mistake and you end up paying more in the long run than if you have a professional do it. My guest is David Hellman, an attorney who's a specialist in both tax law and estate planning, trust and probate law. He's certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. He's also a certified public accountant, and his offices are in Marin County. And what I want to do for those of you who are listening to us live, I want you to, if you have a tax question, to please feel comfortable to call in and ask a question. And I'll be giving the phone number during the course of the program. Let me just mention to you that Your Legal Rights is principally funded by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which certifies the 11 specialties: taxation law, appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding is provided by the family law section of the State Bar and the lawyer referral service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. David, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
Very nice to have you here. I do want to ask you to talk a bit not only about what the pitfalls may be for people, but let's say those who might be wanting to make gifts of stock or money or whatever it is to their kids before the end of the year, what the pitfalls may be in that area. I wonder if you would talk a little bit about this. There's been so much going on with people facing foreclosures. They do short sales, which I guess means that you sell your home. This is the personal home where you live. You sell the home for an amount under the amount owing on the mortgage or mortgages. Is that a short sale, essentially?
Yes, although it can also be for rental property.
Oh, it can be for rental property.
Sure.
All right, I didn't know that. What are the tax consequences there? Let's say somebody has lost a job or something has happened. Maybe they're confronted with very significant medical expenses. They don't have insurance, or they don't have enough insurance, and they've gotten themselves into real trouble. They cannot continue to make payments on their mortgages. They're faced with a foreclosure, and they finally decide that either they let the bank foreclose or they go ahead and they work out a deal of a short sale. What are the consequences there, and what should they do?
Okay.
Generally speaking.
All right. If the property is the personal residence of the person who's just gone through that foreclosure or short sale, then there are two considerations. The first is whether or not the property was disposed of at a gain or a loss.
Of what it was originally purchased for?
Right, plus the improvements.
So in other words, if, for example, you purchased a home going back 15 years ago for $400,000, because of the increase in the value of property, maybe it's worth $1 million now. But you may have also borrowed money on it.
Right. You could have refinanced a few times.
So if you would take that into account. So today,
right,
let's say maybe the fair market value, although if things were good, depending on where you live, let's say if things were good, it would be worth, and we didn't have these financial problems that we do, maybe it'd be worth $1 million on the market. But with all of the financial problems we have, let's say it's worth $600,000. You paid $400 for it. It's worth on the market today $600,000. You've borrowed money, and you've borrowed as much that now you owe $800,000 on the property.
Right. So if it's a short sale and the property is sold for $600,000, then you're looking at potentially a $200,000 gain on the disposition of the property, mm-hmm, if you have not made any improvements over the time, mm-hmm, when you bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So that $200,000 now could be excluded if you've lived there and owned it for two out of the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a provision in Section 121 of the Internal Revenue Code that says that in that circumstance, you can exclude $250,000 if you're a single person and $500,000 if you're a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on your personal residence. So that would exclude the gain from the sale of the property or disposition of the property. Then the second issue that comes about in your example is that there is debt forgiveness of $200,000.
So, which we never would expect a bank to give us, forgive our debt.
Right, but they do at this point. They would normally forgive that debt.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's on a personal residence, and they need to then inform you, if assuming they're going to do that, and they're required to in some circumstances, but assuming that that debt is forgiven, then that $200,000...
Which would be the debt that would be forgiven, I assume, if you have a mortgage totaling $800,000, the forgiveness would be $200,000?
Right. The difference between what the property sold for, so what the bank got, and usually it's less than that because of real estate commissions and closing costs. But assuming that the bank got $600,000, then it's the difference between the mortgage balance of $800,000 and the $600,000. So there's a $200,000 debt forgiveness. Now, there are a few possibilities as to exclusion of that. One is until the end of this year, the federal government allows a $2 million exclusion for debt that is used to acquire the residence or used to improve the residence. But if that $200,000 was used to take a trip or to pay for college or buy an automobile or start a business, then that doesn't count towards that exclusion. California's amount is $500,000. For that same thing. So it's possible if the money was used to fix up the house that it would be excluded. But if it wasn't, then it's it is going to be taxable unless you meet one of the other exclusions. Well, the other exclusions include bankruptcy, if you file bankruptcy before you actually have the short sale, then it would not be taxable. There's also an exception for insolvency. So if you have a negative net worth at the time that the short sale occurred, then you can exclude the amount of this gain to the extent of your insolvency. And that's a calculation. Essentially, people prepare a balance sheet listing all of their assets and all of their debts, and the debt on the property being disposed of with the short sale is at the full $800,000 number in this example. So if the person comes out with a negative net worth of $200,000 or more, then that would offset this gain there and would not require any tax obligation based on the debt forgiveness. Now, that $200,000 also may then end up reducing their basis on the property and increasing the gain on the other transaction from the sale. So it gets somewhat complicated. This is one where you need to see a tax professional.
Where is it that, for example, in a short sale, that someone, if the homeowner doesn't understand what's going on, has not sought any professional advice from a CPA or a tax attorney or enrolled agent, et cetera, what if this person is just kind of hoping just to get out from under all of this obligation, all of this pressure, maybe dealing with a real estate broker who doesn't know anything to speak of about taxing losses or gains or whatever? Where do you have in a short sale that someone, a homeowner in that type of situation, would actually have a taxable problem?
Well, it's going to occur because the lender will send out, depending on what has happened, either a 1099-A or a 1099-C. To the homeowner at the end of the year, showing the amount of gain, what the estimated fair market value of the property was, so the amount of debt forgiveness, and whether or not they believe it's taxable. So the homeowner is going to receive that. They're also going to receive from the escrow company 1099-B, showing that the property has been sold and the amount that the property was sold for. So the Internal Revenue Service is going to be put on notice that the property was sold and the sale price and the date of sale, And they are also going to be put on notice about the amount of debt forgiveness. So this all goes into the Internal Revenue Service computers. And if those amounts don't get reflected on your income tax return, then the red flag is up and the IRS...
You get a nasty letter?
You get a letter saying, well, we believe you made a mistake. You didn't include these items, and our calculation is that you owe X.
Uh-huh.
And chances are you may not owe X if you meet one of these other criteria and these things are fully explained.
What recommendation, generally speaking, do you have for someone who is facing a home foreclosure in terms of what they should do before they decide that they are going to do a short sale, for example?
They should get professional advice before they actually start in the transaction so they understand where this is going and what potential limits there are and what options they may have in terms of how the transaction's going to be structured.
But you know, David, so many people, the average person believes attorneys are so expensive they try to do it on their own, and that creates a problem. So what I want to ask you in just a moment is, if someone is facing a foreclosure and maybe is considering a short sale, what might that person have to pay for a consultation with either a CPA generally or a tax attorney? All right. I want to give you, by the way, we'll get to David's answer in just a minute, but I want to give you the number here, 1-415-841-4134. If you have a question, and not just about foreclosures or short sales or whatever, but if you have a tax question and you're thinking about something that you'd like to try to find out whether or not you should be doing something between now and December 31st, I want to give you an opportunity to call in and ask a question. Don't be bashful. Please don't wait till the end of the program, because then it'll be too late. So the number again is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our annual year-end income tax tips program. My guest, who has been the guest on this program for now several years, it's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
Could it be nearly 10 years now that we've been doing this?
About that long.
I think it has been. David Hillman is a specialist in both tax law and estate planning, trusts, and probate law. He's certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. He's also a certified public accountant. His offices are in Marin County. And if you have listened to this program over the years, you know that David has usually come on toward the end of the year, and we've done this to try to give you some kind of insight into perhaps what you might be thinking about in terms of perhaps saving some money before the end of the year. David had also joined us usually in March, a few weeks before the very serious day of April 15th, if it falls on a weekday, when we're supposed to file our tax returns, and has done a program several weeks before that about preparing your actual income tax return. So we want to give you a chance. But with respect to my question that I posed to you, what comments do you have about that? How much can one expect to have an initial consultation where, hey, my house is underwater, it's worth so much now, here's what I paid for it, my mortgages are this, I'm thinking of a short sale. What would someone pay, generally speaking?
Well, if you're going to a professional and it's not through lawyer referral service, for instance.
Well, that's $35 for generally throughout the state for a half an hour consultation.
Right. My sense is that this is probably about a half hour consultation, maybe an hour. Depends on what the person, but I would say probably $200 in that range, $200 to $300 to get
that
advice.
Which makes a lot of sense to me.
Yes, it does.
Considering the potential problems that one faces.
Yes, somebody needs to understand where this is going and what options they have. And if it's going too far down the road, they may want to pull the plug on it and do something different.
What does that mean by pull the plug?
Well,
pull the plug on the short sale?
On the short sale and maybe let the bank foreclose.
Oh, really?
And because there may be some things that are undesirable coming out of it.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right, let's take some calls here. Craig, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Craig, are you there?
I'm here.
You're still conscious, are you? Go ahead. You're on the air.
I'd like to understand the rationale of the tax consequences or the advantages of rolling a 401k into a Roth, assuming tax rates are going to increase. how does one model that to understand whether they should go and invest in that this year?
Well, on the assumption that the 401k is a taxable 401k and not a 401k Roth itself, so you're going to have a tax to the extent of the money that you pull out of the 401k and roll over into the Roth IRA, and that tax is going to be added on top of whatever your current income tax level is. The assumption is generally that over time, because everything that will come out of the 401k, if you meet the requirements and it's qualified, will be tax-free, then you're getting a benefit to the extent of the appreciation in there. It will not be taxed. The contribution will already have had tax paid on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being totally tax-free. So it's really a calculation of whether you think you can overcome the tax cost immediately with future gain. So it would help if your income was low this year and you're in a low bracket. That certainly makes it more beneficial. And the other thing that you need to look at is what you anticipate future income would be at the time you would otherwise withdraw it from the 401k. If you would be in a high bracket at that point in time, then it probably makes sense to try and do at least a partial distribution out of the 401k
into a Roth. And why would we want to go into it for the rest of us who don't know what we're taught what this is all about? Why would they want to go into a Roth?
All right, a Roth IRA is like a regular IRA, except that you do not get a deduction for putting money in,
mm-hmm.
so it's after tax dollars going in. But all money coming out, if it's is tax-free, assuming you meet the requirements.
Even increased value?
Right. All gains and all earnings on that account are deducted at tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
General requirements are that you have to have had a Roth for 5 years before you pull it out.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to be that one, but a Roth IRA.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that you have to be 59 and a half. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
there's a penalty.
There's a penalty. Mm-hmm. But if you meet those requirements when you go to pull it out, then there's no tax.
Why are you thinking about doing this, Craig? You still there?
I am. I've heard it as a recommendation for tax planning, mm-hmm. and I don't know how to conceptually think about it and whether it's the right thing to do and how to actually figure out, how to quantify the benefit.
How much did you think you wanted to transfer from your 401k into a Roth IRA? Did you have any idea?
It would be a 401k that's already rolled over, mm-hmm. or that's I think the limit's up to 100,000, but I don't know how to think about how much to do, whether to do any at all.
So were you thinking of possibly going so far as rolling over 100,000 into a Roth IRA? Is that what you were thinking you might possibly do?
If it were advantageous to do.
Well, obviously, right. Sure.
One of the other factors you need to keep in mind is that you need to have the money to pay the taxes on this when you do it.
For example, let's say he wanted to transfer $100,000. Let's say he could do this.
Right. If he's in the 28% tax bracket, that's $28,000 federal.
On that 100,
plus you've got California, yeah. which now we're retroactively, yesterday's vote retroactively changed the tax structure for income tax in California
so it depends
on his other income.
Yeah.
But if he hits up over 250,000 total income, then he's going to be at 10.3%.
Yeah.
So you're looking at potentially 35% to 40% tax on this $100,000. Mm-hmm. If you're up in a high enough tax bracket. If you were in a very low tax bracket this year, then that might make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were down because you had no other income or very low other income and you were down in a 10% bracket, then yes, it might make some sense.
You're not in the 10% bracket, I take it, Craig?
No.
You're not. That's what I figured. Do you have a professional who does your taxes for you?
No, but I'm thinking about
You better. You better, Craig.
This is a good one to take to the professional. Let them calculate what makes sense for you, what the cost is going to be to you, and then you need to look and see if you've got the resources to pay it.
Yeah.
Because if you have to take money out of the 401k to pay it, and if you're not 59 and a half, then you've got a penalty plus the tax on it. So it ends up being expensive.
Be really careful, Craig. Get some professional advice before you do this. That's one of the major goals of my asking David to come on the program at the end of the year, so that we can try to educate people to make sure you don't make a mistake. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you called. Robert, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. Enjoy your show.
Good.
My name is Robert. I inherited some land up north in Michigan from my mother. She passed away in 2007. I've been paying taxes on it. The land is worth somewhere around $10,000 to $16,000. And I would like to sell it and take the money for a business. I would like to sell it maybe next year in 2003 and then pay taxes on it in 2014. I don't know if that's right.
Well, what do you think it was worth, Robert, when you inherited it from your mother?
I think it was around $10,000.
Okay. What do you think it's worth today? Up to 16?
Well, I got some comps on it, and she says something like 16,000, but after all the other stuff, it's about 13,000.
So, in other words, you would have a gain possibly as little as 3,000, maybe as much as 6,000. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So you're wondering what your consequences are?
Yeah.
Now, do you have a tax professional also?
No, I don't. I go to the.
I'll send you your 20 for calling in this question. you posed it very well. But
yeah,
okay.
So your income tax basis is the fair market value at the time your mother passed away.
That was 2007.
Right. So if that was $10,000, and if you sold it, if the net sale price after paying a commission and everything were $16,000, then you'd have a $6,000 long-term capital gain for federal tax purposes. Now, if you had capital losses to offset that from other things, so as, for instance, if you had some stocks or if...
No, I'm low income. I'm on Social Security this year.
Okay.
I work for the Giants as an usher, that sort of thing.
Didn't they give you a big bonus?
A hat. Drive this little, little go-kart in the parade.
Robert, you weren't one of the guys who was pushing that that Rolls Royce that the Giants manager was riding in.
No, I was in a little yellow go-kart. Go-kart waiting to everybody, and I had a partner with me, and we were...
I'll tell you, when I saw that photo of that Rolls Royce in the parade on Halloween on Market Street, and here's the manager of the Giants with the three, I think there were three guys, but I don't know if you saw the photo.
No, I didn't see the photo.
Oh, incredible. You know, incredible. So in any event, okay, so the
long term... you'd have long-term capital gain, depending on what they do with the tax brackets for next year.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, that could be a zero tax. Depending on your other income. Yes,
really?
Capital gains can be at zero.
Yeah.
It depends on whether they extend that. That's going to expire at the end of this year.
So I should probably try to sell it now, huh?
Well, I would. If you sell it now, you're probably going to... You know what the one thing about doing something this year is you're certain as to what the tax consequence will be.
What is the long-term tax gain rate right now like this?
It depends on his bracket.
Social Security. That's
right. If that's his only income, or except for the minor amount he might get from the ushering work at the Giants.
Yeah, Social Security and ushering. I don't know what the Social Security comes out. I made... They backlogged it from last year, and I got $9,000, $10,000 for that.
So if you're in a 10% bracket, then you pay 0% capital gains rate this year.
Okay, so I should try to sell it now.
You know, but another thing, Robert,
somebody to talk to about it.
Well, I think what you need to do is, where do you live, Robert?
I live down by the ballpark, in South Park.
I'd talk to a tax person and get some ideas just to confirm where you're going to be.
Let me suggest something to you, Robert, because I think this is very important for you to do, because in the long run, it's going to save you money. And one of the things that I have to be, and David has to be careful about, is the state bar's ethics rules don't permit my guests to give specific legal advice on the air. So,
yeah, I understand that.
So let me, if you have a pen or pencil handy.
I do have a pen and pencil.
Okay. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'm a big believer in people trying to educate themselves and going to certified specialists. So,
okay.
I would suggest you either call the statewide number for the Board of Legal Specialization, which is right where you will live, 415.
Okay, 415.
538. 2100.
2100.
And you ask them to give you the names and phone numbers of certified specialists in taxation law in the San Francisco area.
Okay, taxation law.
Yeah, or you can go to, do you have a computer?
Mine is down right now.
Okay, all right, then you call the state bar, pardon me, you used to call the Board of Legal Specialization of the state bar number, and give them a call and get an appointment with a certified specialist in tax law
CPA?
for a half an hour consultation or whatever. There's going to be some fee.
I don't mind that.
But you know, you got to be smart about this.
Okay. Well, what's your website? What's that website?
Okay. Here it is. Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
All lowercase, no spaces. California.
California. Okay. The whole.
Yeah,
word.
The whole word. Specialist.
Okay. Specialist.org.
CaliforniaSpecialist.org. All right. Thanks very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I listen to you a lot.
Yeah, you do that.
A number of times.
You make sure you do that, okay?
I'll do that tomorrow.
All right. Good.
Thank you. Bye.
That's what I like to hear. All right. For those of you, by the way, who are interested in getting any one of the pamphlets from the Board of Legal Specialization, or you, as I was just telling Robert, if you want to try to find out who your certified specialist is in your area, anywhere in the state of California, you can call the statewide number to the Board of Legal Specialization, 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. Or you can go to the website, www.californiaspecialist.org. Specialist is singular, californiaspecialist.org. And you can plug in where you live, what city it is, and you'll find out who the certified specialist is or are in your area. And I think that's the thing that you should keep in mind. For those of you who are listening to us live or on the internet at www.klw.org, we will continue, because we're coming to the end right now of the statewide version of the program. All right. It is, looks like, 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. So far, we have had two persons who have called who have, I think, important tax questions, who do not have tax professionals. And David and I decided, as we were preparing to go on the air, that it would be important for you to know, if you are brave enough to do your own tax return or do your own tax planning, maybe you might want to get some advice from a professional. So we've had two people who have potential tax consequences who probably should see professionals. And if you're in that neighborhood also, I think you should seriously think about this. All right. So the number here, in case you'd like to call in, is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. By the way, for those of you who are wondering, when is the next Call a Lawyer night? It'll be at the toward the end of November. It'll be Wednesday, November 28th, which is, what is it? That's, it's about four, what, 3 weeks from now. Today is the 7th. And you might want to jot down the number. That's when you can talk with a certified specialist off the air. No obligation on your part. It's a great service these attorneys are performing. It's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. That's for Call a Lawyer night, and that'll be on Wednesday, November 28th. Now, let me ask you to not be bashful and call in. My guest is David Hellman. He's an attorney who's a specialist in both tax law and estate planning, trust, and probate law. He's certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which is the principal funder of this radio program. He's also a certified public accountant. His offices are in Marin County. So please feel comfortable to call in. And we're going to talk now with Eve. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you for your show. This is like the third or fourth time I've called it.
Well, good. Good.
So I am in a situation I've never been in this year, tax-wise. And
does that mean you've gotten a lot of money?
Yes.
Oh, well, oh wow, that's good.
For me, a lot of money.
Okay.
I sued my landlord and won, and then I accepted his buyout to leave my cheap apartment. So
what was the how much was the buyout?
The buyout was $47,000.
Whoa, that's pretty good.
I had a good lawyer.
Is that you don't need to give your lawyer's name, but is that a lawyer? Someone in San Francisco?
Yes.
Someone is it someone I know?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
She works for a nonprofit.
Oh, no kidding! No kidding! What nonprofit housing?
Tenderloin Housing Clinic.
Really? So you actually had a lawsuit against your landlord because your landlord was, what, harassing you and trying to get you out?
Well, he had just been terribly negligent. I'd lived in the building years before he bought it. Then he bought it and continued to raise the rent and never made any repairs, and it was in terrible, and then did things like took the key away to where the breakers were. And
oh, he was a real beaut.
Oh, he's just...
What is the name of the nonprofit organization that helped you?
Tenderloin Housing Clinic.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed to hear that. Okay, so you got $47,000, which was a buyout. In other words, the landlord finally said, I've had enough with this woman. I can't take her anymore.
No.
Oh.
That's not how it works.
All right, well, tell me how it works.
He started telling me, him and his wife started suggesting to me and the other single mom that lives in the building that it would be convenient for them if we moved.
Yeah.
And I told them it would be convenient for me if you gave me a $50,000 buyout. Mm-hmm. And everybody went ballistic. They started trying to manufacture ways to evict me and the neighbor by not accepting our rent and then giving us 3-day notices. And
you were under the rent board ordinance, were you not?
Right, it's rent control.
Okay, rent control. Sure, yeah. San Francisco rent control. All right, so he bought you out.
Yes.
And are you concerned that there are tax consequences with this?
Yes, that, and I also sued him because this was before the buyout was offered. My lawyer suggested I should sue him because I had perfect grounds to, and she said, you might end up evicted. And
you sued your landlord on what basis?
On his gross negligence of the building. You know, I had things like him sending me emails saying, the stairs are broken, I know, don't go down them.
So, and none of it was, I suppose, for emotional stress or anything like that.
Yeah, there was a small portion. Well, you know, we settled out of court.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I did have $2,000 in doctor bills, you know, related to the stress around it.
Okay.
But my big concern is everything I've heard so far is that I'm going to be taxed on the gross, and it's my responsibility to try and, you know, protect myself from the taxes as far as I have to pay tax on the gross and then deduct my lawyer's fee. And
So was your lawyer's fee included within the $47,000, or was it on top of that?
Well, the that was the gross. The net was, well, I didn't get the whole 47 yet.
Okay, but is your lawyer's fee, was it taken out of the $47,000?
It was.
Yeah, okay, all
right. So I didn't get 47.
So what do you think you're going to end up with? What's your net
going
to be?
Well, right now, what I've gotten thus far, and then when I move, there should be another 22. I got the, from the lawsuit, it was a net of 25. Mm-hmm. I think the gross was higher because she took a third of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the buyout I got so far, I've gotten half of it, which was 21 minus the lawyer fee.
Okay. And do you work?
I do.
Okay. And what, may I ask you, what is your gross income from your work?
It's low. Would be this year would have been like $28,000.
$28,000. Okay. So you are, what bracket would she be in, David, would you say?
Well, probably 15%.
15%.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when you add this other income, because the
now
settlement
from the, there, yeah.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, if you were compensated in a personal injury lawsuit for actual physical damage and physical problem, then it's not taxable.
But emotional stress is taxable.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's that. I figured that part out.
Yeah.
Right. So, and also the so all of what you've gotten is essentially the gross amount is going to be taxable income to you.
Yeah.
The legal fees are deductible as a miscellaneous itemized deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Then the problem you potentially have is that when you calculate your income tax, there is a second calculation for alternative minimum tax. And the alternative minimum tax disallows miscellaneous itemized deductions and disallows taxes paid for to the state or for sales tax, either the higher of those that are used and for property taxes, which probably, unless you own some other property somewhere, wouldn't be relevant. But in any event, you should run through, in terms of projecting all this, whether you're going to owe alternate minimum tax. Now, you also should be filing an estimated tax payment that would be due January 15th of 2013 to cover...
For this year?
Right.
File it by January 15th
right.
for
should,
this year, 2012.
You should, unless you've had enough withheld so that there'd be no penalty, then you can wait till April 15th
when,
to pay.
When are you getting the balance of the payment, Eve?
Well, I have to move by July, but if I move before that, whenever I move.
Okay, so you can have the balance of the payment that can, that will go into next year.
Potentially, yes.
Potentially, correct?
Well, yeah, and I currently have $10,000 set of this money, $10,000 set aside in the CD specifically so that I... Mm-hmm. You know, have it for taxes if I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my recommendation would be to see a tax professional and have them run a calculation for you of what the estimated liability is going to be to make sure that the 10 is enough. And then you can go from there.
Again, I would suggest to you, Eve, either... You know, contacting a certified...
I've already got somebody lined up.
Do you?
Who said he was... Yeah,
good.
Referred by a friend that...
All right.
Because it's... Yeah, I'm pretty confused and concerned.
Well, yes.
I'd much rather spend $200 having somebody hold my hand and...
I think that's important.
And worry about it.
It may be... You know, it could possibly be more, but on the other hand, I think it's very worthwhile to educate yourself, spend something that's worthwhile, because... When you pay a professional like that, that's also, is it not, David, a taxable deduction?
Right. If you itemize your deductions, it's also a miscellaneous itemized deduction.
Do you itemize, Eve?
I never have because I never made enough money.
Well, you may
she
this,
would
year.
This year. She would this year because of the attorney
year?
Fees.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on itemizing this year.
How much has your attorney gotten so far out of the money that has been paid? What's the fee?
She got a third of the first settlement, so if you do math better than mine, it was, my net was 25.6, and then she had there was a third more on top of that that she took.
Okay, so she got something like 11,000, something or 12,000, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Eve, do you know what to do?
Well, I guess so. I guess I need to make sure that my tax accountant knows about whether I should be doing an alternate minimum.
Well,
tax.
I think that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, write it down.
Do you get any special exemptions when you move?
No, not unless you're moving 50 miles at least, and it has to be related to job change, so there's nothing there. You're probably not going to be in the alternate minimum tax because your income isn't high enough, but it's something that...
But find out.
Find out for sure that a little bit of it could be, and it's something that you want to check.
Good luck, Eve.
Okay, thank you so much.
Take care. Glad you called.
Yes.
All right, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our year-end income tax tips. My guest is David Hellman, a specialist in both tax law and estate planning, trust and probate law, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. He's also a CPA. His offices are in Marin County. If you'd like to join us with a question, a comment, or whatever in the tax area, The number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And let's see, we have Matloub? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes, Matloub.
Matloub, welcome to the program.
Thank you, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure.
I have a student loan, and I owe about $22,000 on it. I have a fixed-in rate. I have a monthly payment of a couple of $100s. I do have the money to pay off the loan in one lump sum. I did get a statement from the Department of Ed that I paid an interest $770 last year. So if I do the math, $200 a month for 12 months, that's $2,400, and I paid $700 in interest.
Mm-hmm.
And my which money is in a Fidelity account.
That $700 is included in the $2,400?
No, that $700 is from the statement I got.
Okay.
That says how much money I paid in interest. Mm-hmm. That's deductible on my taxes.
Yes.
So what I don't know is, would it make more sense for me, maybe you're not allowed to tell me directly, but would it make more sense for me to pay the loan off? Is that $770, do I pay that much less in tax?
No, that $700 is just a deduction, so it reduces your income.
Okay.
And so whatever your tax bracket is would be the amount that you're saving on that $700.
My tax bracket is about somewhere between 12% actually.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that may be your effective rate, but your top tax bracket, whatever that is, could be 25% on part of it.
I'm looking on my federal tax return. It says my effective tax rate.
Right, but you want to look at what your bracket is.
Okay.
How much are you grossing a year with your income?
Well, there's two different figures. I put the maximum amount away for my age, which is $22,500 per year. Is
for
that
retirement
the income
plan.
Before or after I do that?
No, it's going to be after
I
that.
I got you.
But so where you're going with all this in terms of whether it makes sense to pay off that student loan, you need to know what your interest rate is on the student loan.
It's about 3%.
Wow. Right. And then the issue is, could you do better with that $22,000 invested? Could mm-hmm. you make more than 3%?
Right.
Yeah. That really is what...
That's the issue.
That's the issue.
Yeah. And 3% is not so easy to make these days.
And you're right.
No. Right. It's sort of the average for stocks, mm-hmm. dividends, but mm-hmm. not for guaranteed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I will look into those and compare it. And
you know, I'm wondering if it would be helpful to him, David, just a thought here, if he were to contact a financial advisor and try to get some insight there also.
I think so, because mm-hmm. you might be able to find what types of investments would generate more than 3% and whether your risk tolerance is at that level or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, let me mention this to you, if you like, Matloub. You can. There was a very good advisor who came on the program a couple of times in the last year or so, who I'm very impressed with, in Fremont. If you want, you can call my office, leave your name and phone number, and I'll give you his number, and you can call and see if you want to make an appointment with him.
Okay.
Do that?
Yes.
Yeah. My direct number, you may not know this, but I'm a deputy DA for San Mateo County. I'm in the Consumer Protection Unit. And my name is Chuck Finney. Have you ever listened to the program before?
Oh, my God. I love your voice.
Okay. All right. So here's my number. You can call me and leave a message. You can call right now and leave a message on my phone, and
okay.
I'll be happy to get back to you, because I think it's important that, frankly, you do get at least explore having a consultation with a financial advisor. And I feel very comfortable that the fellow who... has been on my program a couple of times, who's been recommended by the Trust in the State section of the State Bar, which is one of the funders of the program, would be someone certainly you would want to call. So my number is 650-363-4097.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My final question is, I have my savings with Fidelity. They offer financial advisors,
oh,
too.
Well,
Would that be the same?
Do you have to pay them if you go in and talk with them?
I don't know.
Why don't you find out?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since you are. Do you know David? Would he have to
pay? Generally, you would not.
I wouldn't think so. Okay. Yeah, why don't you try that also?
Okay.
Matt Lube, I think that makes a lot of sense. And if you're not very happy with what they tell you, I think you call and leave your name and phone number, and I'll give you the name of this financial advisor.
Great.
Who's an independent guy.
Great. 650-363-4091.
That's 597.
Oh,
4097.
97, got it.
Yeah. Let's not call somebody else.
No.
You wouldn't get what you want. All right.
Thank you to both of you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. We've got Maury. Welcome to your legal rights.
Oh, good evening, David and Chuck. I'm, as they say, long-term listener, first-time caller.
Well, I wish you'd get my name correct. It's Chuck, not Chuck. Pat.
Pardon?
You said Pat, David and Pat.
No, I said Chuck.
Oh, did you? Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah.
That's all right. Go ahead, Maury.
I'm retired, so I have no earned income at this point. And I have a second home, which I bought with the intention of retiring there, but have decided against doing that. Mm-hmm. And that home is seriously underwater at the moment. Into tune of about $200,000-$250,000.
And you have a mortgage on it?
I have a very substantial mortgage on it.
Yeah.
But I've been paying paying the mortgage and the property tax and the insurance on it. So I've decided that I'm going to rent it out to help offset the cost of carrying it. And my question is, the rental income that I will get for that property, can I put that rental income in a Roth or a 401k?
No, you can only put earned income into an IRA account. But it's possible that you actually won't net any money off of that for tax purposes, because the way a rental property is treated, you pick up the gross rental income as receipts as income, but then you get to deduct the property taxes, mm-hmm. any mortgage interest you pay, mm-hmm. insurance, any costs of repairs.
Yeah.
If you're in a homeowners association of any kind, you deduct that, maintenance costs. Mm-hmm. And then you also get to depreciate the improvement part of the cost of the property.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So at the end of the day, you may actually have a negative, and then this is what's called passive property, and there are loss limitations for passive losses, so there is, again, a place where you would need some kind of a tax professional to give you some numbers, but my sense is it may actually end up being a tax write-off for you to some degree, because your only other income is some retirement income.
Maury, what's your property worth fair market value right now?
It's worth probably $600,
mm-hmm.
but I paid $675 for it, and I invested $200,000 in it.
Oh.
So it's a very substantial loss.
So essentially, with your investing $200,000 in it, you took the purchase price of $600,000 plus $200,000. Pardon me, six what?
$675,
and you put in $200,000, so you have an obligation plus money you put into it, which amounts to $870,000. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And where is it? What city?
It's in Sonoma County.
Yeah. And you have not rented it yet?
No.
And you have you ever lived there, even temporarily?
Oh, yeah. I've lived there.
Well, I think as we've been talking, it really makes sense to get some professional advice on this, and in terms, I mean, this is a very significant investment on your part.
It is. It's very.
Do you have a tax preparer?
Well, I've used a commercial.
You mean when you've had to prepare your tax return?
Yeah.
You need more than that.
Yeah.
You need an actual professional who's going to actually look at what you've got and what you can do and how you can protect yourself. I mean, if you go into a tax preparer, a week or two before April 15th or whatever, if that's what you're talking about,
uh-huh.
in my opinion, that's not the thing to do.
Okay.
So do you want to, where are you? What city?
Well, I'm in Sebastopol.
Okay. And what county is that?
Sonoma.
That's Sonoma.
Oh, that's Sonoma. Okay. Why don't you call the Board of Legal Specialization number? Do you want me to give it to you again?
No, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
415-538-2100.
That's right. And do you have access to a computer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get the website for the board?
I did.
Yeah. I think that's what you need to do and have a... I mean, this is a major investment on your part. Don't chintz it.
Okay.
You know? Go and get some professional advice. Be willing to pay, and it may be a few $100. I don't know. And get some good advice in terms of what to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you both.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, nice to hear from you. Take care now. All right, we have a few minutes left, and the number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guest is David Hillman, a specialist in both tax law and estate planning, trust, and probate law, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. This is our yearly, and we've been doing this now for several years, yearly year-end income tax tips program, so take advantage of this, 1-415-841-4134. A couple of things I want to tell you about before we take our next call. At the San Mateo County Law Library, which is across the street from the building in which I work, which is the Hall of Justice in Redwood City for San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Law Library tomorrow, that is Thursday, November 8th, from noon until maybe 1 o'clock or so, is if you're thinking about starting a business, you'll find out what you need to know. There are going to be a couple of attorneys who are into business law, and they'll be there tomorrow, Ruben Nokos and Najib Kudaya of a law firm in San Mateo County. And the lecture is free. You can take your lunch with you if you like. The San Mateo County Law Library is a lovely place to go to, frankly, very comfortable, and find out if you're interested in starting a business, what may be involved. And if you want more information, take down this number if you would. And again, this is for tomorrow, Thursday, November 8th. The number to call first thing tomorrow morning is 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913. And also, in a week from Saturday, for those of you who may be facing a foreclosure problem, Supervisor Carol Groom of San Mateo County and Congresswoman Jackie Speer are co-sponsoring a Preventing Foreclosure Workshop and Counseling Session, which will be on Saturday, November 17th in San Mateo, the city of San Mateo. It'll be from 9 a.m. to noon. That's November 17th. It'll be at the Silicon Valley Community Foundation at 1300 South El Camino Real in San Mateo. Again, that's Saturday, November 17th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to noon. It's free. You're invited by San Mateo County Supervisor Carol Groom and Congresswoman Jackie Speer. If you'd like some more information about this, here's the phone number to jot down, if you would, 510-271-8443, extension 307, 510-271-8443, extension 307. That's for the Preventing Foreclosure Workshop and Counseling. All right, let's see who we've got now. We've got Alan. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's a question about one trust who is the beneficiary of another trust, and a question. My aunt has passed away, and my father was the beneficiary of her trust. But my father has passed away, my father's trust involves real estate, and my sisters who handled my aunt's trust and my father's trust, there's been a big falling out over this property with me.
Mm.
I'm using up a lot of resources just protecting the property, but the money from my aunt's trust is not showing up anyplace, and it's been over a year since she's died, and,
How much money in your aunt's trust was there, cash?
$80,000 to $100,000.
So it's disappeared?
It hasn't been accounted for with any requests for accountings and things like that. And I'm, as I said, I'm using up a lot of resources in protecting the property that I'm, that's part of my father's trust.
You're talking about the real property.
Yeah, the real property.
What is your, what does your sister say with respect to where the cash is?
We're, nobody's talking.
Oh my, that's not good.
So is this something where I could read out some type, you know, write out some type of letter and describe what's happening and get assistance from a district attorney?
Well, like that, if you think your sister has embezzled the money, it's a potentially criminal matter.
Correct.
You know, you, you could, what I think you should do, where is the, where, supposedly, where is the location of the trust?
The Ants Trust was in Reno, Nevada.
Oh, uh-huh.
Where is your sister?
Where's your sister?
In the San Francisco area.
Okay.
All right. Well, what you probably should do, at least if it's a civil matter, is talk to a lawyer that deals with the state trust. Again, a specialist in state trust and probate. You may end up having to file a petition with the probate court, wherever the your sister lives, to have her prepare an accounting and start moving forward with this. That is the first thing, at least, I would recommend is to go see an attorney.
You have not seen an attorney, Alan?
Oh, I've seen quite a few, and I'm trying to, as I said, right now I'm using up, I'll probably exhaust all my funds soon just trying to defend
property. But Alan, have you seen an attorney who handles trusts?
Oh, they all of the attorneys that I've seen so far are trust attorneys.
Well, have you?
I've had to move from one to another because of frankly, not getting not getting what I was originally requesting, and had to move from one attorney to another.
Well, I unfortunately, it sounds like your situation is very complex at this point in terms of what's been happening. Any comments for him?
No, you need to get to an attorney that's going to do what you need to have done.
You got to do something here, Alan, or you're just going to flounder indefinitely. If you haven't gone to a certified specialist in estate planning, I suggest that you do. Have you gotten someone who's a certified specialist who you've seen?
I do not know if that title actually was.
Where are you located?
I'm in Mountain View, California.
Okay, all right. Let me give you the phone number again for the Board of Legal Specialization and the website. I suggest that your next step is you either call to find out who the certified specialists are in Mountain View, which is Santa Clara County, or you go to the website to find out who the certified specialists are in estate planning and make an appointment to go in for at least an initial consultation.
Yeah.
Take this down. We're just about out of time. We got to move. It's 415-538-2100. 415-538-2100. The website is www.californiaspecialist.org. Californiaspecialist.org. We have come to the end of the program. I would like to thank you, David, very much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. I enjoy it.
Obviously, we just didn't have enough time to meet with everyone, and I'm terribly sorry about that. David Hillman is a specialist in both tax law and estate planning, trusts, and probate law, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. His offices are in Marin County. By the way, next week, we're going to do a program on estate planning and money problems of older parents who move in with their adult children. My guests will be Jane Bryant Quinn, nationally known financial journalist, and elder law attorney Peter Stern, a certified specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Thank you very much for listening to this program, and I look forward to having you with us next week. I'm Chuck Finney.